expressed in the following program are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the staff or management of KLAV.
Welcome to Gambling with an Edge, with your hosts Bob Dancer and Richard W. Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's in the Video Poker Hall of Fame, and he's written 10 books about video poker, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the Video Poker for Winners computer software. Richard W. Munchkin has played blackjack, backgammon, and poker professionally, and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that, by listening, you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer, in the studio here in Las Vegas. Richard Munchkin is joining us on the phone from California. Good evening, Richard.
Good evening, Bob. Happy to be here.
Well, good. So this is our second time we're experimenting with texting back and forth while we're doing the show and hoping it works. Tonight's guest is going to be Steve Fezzik. He's one of the very best sports handicappers in the business. Tonight we'll be talking mostly about handicapping football since the start of that season. We should have him later on in the future to talk about other sports. Do you know Fezzik Munchkin?
Yeah, we've met. We've met, but don't know him well.
Yeah, I was on his show three or four times back when he had a daily show. We'll have to ask him about whether he wants to have another radio show again. It was a weekly radio show is causing me enough work. I can't imagine a daily show.
Yeah, boy, that seems like a lot.
And it was more than an hour at a time as well. So, oh well. I received an email today from a man named Phil that was unlike any email I've received before. It was video poker question, and I thought I'd received every video poker question there is 30 times. But this is a new one, and it's about slot clubs and about calculating returns. And so I thought I'd share it with our group tonight, and maybe other people will get something from it. He was going to a casino, and he'd received $5 in free play. He was taking $100 with him. He's going to be playing 8-5 bonus poker, which is 99-1-7. So he wants to know how to calculate how that $5 in free play increases the 99-1-7. $5 is obviously 5% of $100, or a little bit less than that of $105, but he doesn't think he's going to be getting 105%. So anyway, I'm going to answer the question. But before I do, I recommend that those of you who play video poker, you think to yourself, how would you answer the question? If you have free play, how do you determine what percent it adds to the return on the game? The answer is that the $5 and $100 that he's taking today have nothing to do with each other. The $5 is not related to the $100. It's related to how much he played last month or the last 3 months or something of that nature. The amount of free play you get is based on previous play. Now, if you've played, for example, $10,000 in coin in and the casino sends you four $5 free play coupons, then you figure the return by $20, which is the sum of those four coupons, divided by $10,000, which was the play it required to get it. Now, that comes out to 0.002. In percentage returns, it's 0.2%. So when you add it to the 99.17, it now comes out to be 99.37. This, if that's all that's going on, this is still a losing game. Anything under 100%, the house has the advantage, and people who play with a goal of making money should avoid such games. It's possible that there's other things going on there that he didn't share us about. Some people don't know how much coin in they've played. my answer to that is, why not? Keeping track of coin in isn't that hard. It's as easy or as difficult as keeping track of how many dollars and cents you've played. Most casinos give you the your slot club point on the screen, and so you can record that number. And doing the translation between the number of points you earned today and the number of dollars in is usually pretty simple. If it's if you've earned 5,000 points and it's a casino where it takes $1 to earn 1 point, well, then you've played $5,000. If you've earned 5,000 points and it takes $2 to earn a point, well, you've played $10,000. So this isn't difficult math, and recording it isn't difficult. And the benefits to it, to know whether or not what the return is, are pretty good.
You know, I'd like to insert, Bob, that whenever I talk to people who are trying to learn to play blackjack or poker, I strongly, strongly stress that they should keep records of their play. Because the only way you can know if you're actually winning at the game is if you keep accurate records. So, plus it'll help you at tax time, but that's a topic for another night.
Yeah, so what kind of records would you keep as a blackjack player? Just what casino you played at and what your net score was, or would you keep more than that?
I keep the casino I played at, the shift, what game I was playing, how long I played, how many minutes I played. Sometimes I will record the amount of how much I bet. I mean, the spread of
the
how much
the bet spread, whether it was from $5 to 25 or whatever the number was.
Whatever, yeah. And then the number of minutes played. And then the important section for me is any notes about a particular dealer or a particular pit boss or, you know, anything that I might want to know if I come back to that casino 6 months down the road on that shift, I might know, oh, I want to avoid this particular person or whatever. So
or I might want to sit next to him because he exposes the bottom card when you're sitting at third base.
Well, or yeah, things like that as well, of course.
That,
yeah.
That is, are you young enough to see cards when he does that? Or I was when I was younger, but my eyes are shot.
Yeah, as we get older, our eyes go, and yeah, much harder to see anything.
The I want to talk. We're going to do commercials later, but something about the Palms that I want to talk about before Fezzik comes on. The we've been talking about their drawing for the last couple of weeks, where you get a guaranteed 1500, or you can gamble it up with an average of 1667, where the range is somewhere between $123 and $3,210. Most professional gamblers go for the 1667 if this number isn't huge for them. If, you know, if they're a quarter player and what it's really small, then it's big. Last week at the Palms, there was five people Friday, five people Saturday who had the chance. Seven of them took the 1500. Three of them gambled it up. I thought it would be more people taking the gamble.
Yeah, I would just say that for anybody that would take the $1,500, the guaranteed $1,500, and give up $166 in EV, they should never even consider thinking about trying to gamble professionally.
They just have the wrong personality for it.
Yeah, yeah. If that small amount of variance is going to worry them, they would never be able to make it, you know, trying to make a living at any kind of gambling.
I agree, unless the 1500 is a huge amount to them. So it is possible that they are a real small gambler, but they wouldn't likely be called anyway. Anyway, a friend of mine, lady, I'll call her Sally. She took the $1,500, and I was curious as to why. Sally is, she's been to all my classes a number of times, knowledgeable gambler, has a bigger bankroll than I do, and so I asked her, how come? And if she had answered, well, I just felt like it, then there's nothing for me to say. Because, you know, you can, her opinion of what is good could be different than mine. That's fine. But she gave a justification that I thought was really, really off. What she said was, there were three people who played the game, and all three of them lost money relative to the $1,500. So she felt it was a smart play for them to take the $1,500, or because everybody who tried it lost money. I thought that was a extremely silly justification. It was obviously a fair game. Every time they opened up envelopes 0, 1, 2, and 3, and so you could see they were all there. So there was no way the casino was going to cheat you and put them in the wrong order. And so any history of it doesn't really matter. It's a fair game. The math is easy as to what it's worth, and that should be the how you figure it. But she used the trends. Well, they were going low tonight, and that's the way the trends were. So therefore, I avoided that trend, and that was a smart play. I thought that was one of the dumbest things she's ever said.
Yeah, you know, the people who take the 1500, these are the exact same people who think that it's right to take insurance when they have a blackjack. You know, because they're sure to get paid, they're just not getting paid enough. You know, and even, you know, the most beginning card counter has learned that you're not supposed to take insurance when you have a blackjack. But you know, I guess if they had a $1,500 bet, they would do it because it's $1,500 or something. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I learned to do it when I had a match play coupon, because sometimes match play coupons aren't worth full value. But if you got a blackjack and the dealer had an ace and you said even money, they would give you the full value of the match play coupon. So I always tried that, and I thought that was a pretty clever play. Didn't happen very often. Well, actually, it did, because back when I started in Vegas, I cashed thousands of 2-for-1, you know, or 5-for-10 match play coupons or something like that. And so,
you know, I know Anthony Curtis started that way as well. And, you know, some night we should have him on and talk about whether a young guy could get started that way anymore, if there are still enough coupons out there to actually, you know, make a living and get started in the business.
I agree. He puts out his own coupon book, the Pocketbook of Values for the Las Vegas Advisor. And the coupons aren't as good there as they used to be. And primarily, I think Anthony will tell us, is that players have been abusing them, going into the casino, cashing them, and then leaving, which, of course, is what I did.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think the problem is, you know, there are some dishonest players who end up, you know, Xeroxing or making copies of the counterfeits of the coupons. And obviously that can ruin it for everybody.
It can, or especially if they, when officially they were one per day. And of course, a lot of us thought that meant one per shift per day. And, yeah.
Or per pit per shift per day.
That's all we done. All right. So on the videopoker.com hotline, we now have Mr. Stephen Fezzik. So let me introduce him, and let's talk about some handicapping. Professionally, Steve Fezzik started out as an insurance actuary. That means he's really good at math. I find it interesting that Michael Shackelford also started out that way, and he's also really good at math. Now, Fezzik is one of the top football and basketball handicappers in Las Vegas. To do this, you have to be really, really good at math. Every year, the Las Vegas Hilton has a $1,500 entry fee NFL football contest, and it attracts the top handicappers in the business. Winning this contest once is very impressive. Winning it twice is something only one person has done, and that's our guest tonight, Steve Fezzik. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Dan, sir. Boy, I'm happy to be here. How are you?
I'm well. I miss being on your show. I got to be on your show several times in the past. And then you stop doing it. So we'll
it's not a lot of money in radio, but it certainly is fun, no doubt about it. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure fun's the right word, but yes, good. Now, you won a number of football contests. We mentioned the Hilton, and you've done well at others. To me, the fact that you've placed in a number of them over several years is more impressive than any specific one. Any one specific win has to include a large number of luck. When you win several year after year, that has to be a large amount of skill. So, I'm sorry?
The funny thing about that is I've heard lots of people say, well, you can just get lucky and win the Hilton twice, and you could take both of the Hiltons away from me. I'm a contest specialist. You know, I play lots of contests, and I'd stack my resume up against just about anyone. I've certainly been ridiculously lucky in these contests as well. That certainly doesn't hurt. So I've won the coin flips and gotten some good breaks, but I've played well as well.
So how does handicapping a football contest differ than those of us who just are trying to handicap to pick the winners on Sunday?
Well, most of the contests put out the lines for the contest on Wednesday, and then they'll have a deadline Friday night or Saturday, Bob. And a lot of people just put their picks in on Thursday, and then all kinds of strange stuff can happen. Manning can get reported out. I mean, everyone knew he was going to be out this week. But other things happen. David Garrard is out for Jacksonville. So you certainly get those situations occurring.
Out of town really for Jacksonville.
You really need to be putting in your picks close to the deadline with perfect information. And it's remarkable how many people don't do that. But the logistics are bad. You know, if you've got a proxy and you're in, you know, New England, and you're calling your proxy to put in your place, you can't ask him to put it in last minute for you. So because of that, the people who specialize and put in their plays based upon perfect information right at post certainly have an advantage. I would say probably similar to maybe in a blackjack tournament being able to act last.
Oh, that's big. So how do you deal with, you were talking about Peyton Manning, and when you have injury situations where you don't have perfect information, people are possible or probable or doubtful, how do you deal with those injury situations? I'm talking about in regular betting as well as, you know, a tournament.
Well, I think a lot of people are, and I'll probably focus more on regular betting, a lot of people are much more following the Twitters, trying to get the information first. Now, you can try to read the markets, similar to a day trader. You see an Indianapolis Colts team lined at 9.5 to 10 season wins, and the Houston Texans team lined at 8.5 wins, and the Texans are favored by one, and then two, and then three, and you start hearing rumors, hey, something's wrong with Manning, and you say, well, who's really betting this? Who would be betting the Texans without that information? It doesn't make a lot of sense, because if Manning plays, the line's going to be pick'em, or maybe the Texans minus one. So when it hits three, it's a pretty safe bet. Someone knows something that no one else knows, and that they're betting it with inside information. And that was my conclusion. That's probably one of the larger plays that I put out. I always like to talk about the good plays, not the bad plays. But the minus three on Houston and the under 47 were certainly great plays. And are the rare correlated parlay favorite to under. Currently it's 9, and total is 43.
Wow.
Our next week's guest is a man named Michael Koenig, and one of his stories that he wrote is about this man who sold NFL football picks, and he had his 4-year-old son pick them, and he would sell these, and there was a guarantee if he didn't win, you would get the playoffs for free, also picked by his 4-year-old son. Now, these kind of things are possibly rampant. You're associated with LVA Sports, which is Las Vegas Advisor and their sports handicapping system. How is LVA Sports different than this? How do we know it's different than this?
Well, the minimum age is 7 for children to pick the football game.
Oh, good.
I think that's important. You know, actually, what's more prevalent is
7-year-olds actually must like Cowboys. I mean, that's just, they have to like Cowboys every week.
Exactly. The problem is that I swear you could take people that are coin flippers. They've been in this business 20 years. They got a documented record of 50%, and they could take a lie detector test, and they passed it. Oh, you have a good handicapper. Yes, the needle wouldn't move. So it's kind of distressing. Now, in the past, I was much more of a sharp bettor than I was a pure handicapper because there was money literally growing on trees 10, 20 years ago. We'll talk about some of the promotions and things you could take advantage of, and certainly the contest with all the dead money. But I've raised my game as I've gotten older and hopefully wiser and gotten better contacts, so that's certainly important.
You know, one of the things that people are fascinated by when I talk to them, they've all kind of heard because of the movie 21 that blackjack players get thrown out of casinos. They're sort of used to that. But when I tell them that sports bettors get thrown out of sports books, get thrown out of casinos, they find that mind-boggling. They don't understand how that can be. If the casino allows you to bet on either side, why you would get thrown out. But I understand you had some incident at the Aladdin years ago.
Yeah, in the Aladdin, they had a funky parlay card with all kinds of numbers rounded way up. So I went in there. Of course, it didn't pay very much. But I got to play some teams like plus 10 that the marketplace was dealing 6.5 and 7. So although their payouts were poor, the spreads were outstanding and was lucky. Some cards lined up. So I wound up with not a tremendous score, you know, just a good payout. And so I went to cash in one of my winners. He asked me, how many more of these you got? Which I know the answer to that. That's an easy question. Whenever a sports book asks you that question, the answer is, this is the only one. Get paid on that one. Worry about the others later. So the next day I come in with another ticket. They go, how many of these you got? I go, this is the only one. They said, you said that yesterday. Yeah. That was
you
the
can't
only
go
one
in
yesterday.
On a different shift?
So, they slow paid me. They stalled. And, of course, you know, you always have the gaming commission to call and make sure you get paid. But they interesting situation where they paid me. They said, you got to stick around, you know. They paid me. I'm walking around the window, and then I see security walking, and I had been schooled, you know, just walk fast, get out of the casino. So I walked faster, and I heard, sir, sir. So I walked even faster without running, mind you. Got out the exit. Funny thing is that crazy Aladdin with all those ramps and everything, so I'm out, but I'm not on the strip. And contemplating jumping over a fence, and I just kept walking fast. And then when I came back the next day, absolutely, I wound up with getting the tap and told no more Aladdin for me. Yes.
But you were able to cash out all your coupons, all your tickets.
Oh, absolutely. And they knew that I could go to the gaming commission. I mean, I didn't do anything wrong. The funny thing is that I played. I didn't even play that much. I still don't understand what was wrong with those folks, because it wasn't like I could have played a lot more action that night. I guess maybe, you know, it's a fine line when you're gambling and you get a promo. Same thing happens, video poker, blackjack. Do you try to milk it or just say, you know what, let me just go for the jugular and get all I can as fast as I can, because it may well disappear the next day, you know?
I never know at the time which way to go for it. Afterwards, when I know exactly when I was kicked out, I figured, well, given that I was going to get kicked out on Tuesday at 6 a.m., then I could have maximized something by doing something. But while it's happening, you don't know when that's going to come down.
And there's a fine line also. If you've got a good relationship with a book and they've got a bad number, you bet it and you tell them. You say, hey, there's a tropical depression moving in off the Gulf of Mexico. It's heading towards southern Mississippi. You might want to move the southern Mississippi total. You got 59 right now, and it's probably going to close 53. If it's a book you don't really have a good rapport with, you don't go that often, or they haven't really treated you in an exceptional manner, don't give you any comps, don't do anything for you, well, maybe you just bet and let them figure it out, you know?
Yeah. Well, even if you have the good relationship, I would at least bet it first and then tell them.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the unwritten rule, that when you walk up, you get the bet, but you should be able, if you have a good relationship with them, you tell them why their number is wrong. Correct.
But with 59 and it's going to 53, you ought to be able to bet it twice or three times because you bet all you can at 59 and it's going to change down to 57 and you can still bet it there pretty good and then bet it again at 55 and then tell them.
But you don't know it's going down to 53. All you got is a nebulous weather report about a storm in the Gulf heading north. So yeah. You're really, if I knew it was going to go down to 51, well, yes, I'd keep betting it. But, I mean, I'd be greedy also. I'd bet 59, and when they move to 57.5, I'd go across the street and start betting 58.5 and not pop it twice at a place because I hit it under 59 and 57.5, and they move it to 56, then everyone sees the screen, and they say, why in the world is this one place dealing a 56 now? This makes no sense. Someone really likes this under a lot, and that's dangerous. You can give away your hand doing that.
Now,
so, Steve, why do they let you play at all?
I think it's a recognition that this is not like blackjack where, oh, my goodness, if we're just going to get this Munchkin guy out of our casino and we don't have to worry about him shuffle tracking anymore. It's not unrealistic to think, wow, if we get a better angry at us, he may well just tweet out to 1,000 people, go play this prop at $200 a piece. Everybody go play it. It's wrong and it's going to win. And that's a true story. I have done that before. Yes. And then they can get an unbelievable amount of action on something they never wanted to write. Yes.
Huh. So they're somewhat afraid of you.
No, they're just afraid of there being a mistake on the board that's not easily correctable.
Huh.
Now, I assume every ticket writer, or most of them, recognize you by face, by name. And so when you make your bet, how many of them do other people come up and says, what did Fezzik bet and why? Or what did Fezzik bet? Now, do these ticket writers normally tell them, or do they not tell them? Is there bribery one way or the other to either prevent that or to allow that? How's that work?
I don't think they care that much. I think people get hot in this business, they get cold. No one really knows how anyone really does. And certainly people ask me who I like, and I will always tell them if I've already gotten down myself. But you'd be shocked how little, when someone asks me, who I like, and I tell them more often than not, the most common occurrence is they tell me who they like, and then they go to the window and bet who they like.
Ha. Which, okay. why spend the time asking?
People bet the opposite. I'm sure this has happened to you. Someone asks how to play a video poker hand or a blackjack hand. You tell them they should split nines when the dealer's a nine up, and then they tuck. I don't know why they ask. But they do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, there are students who come to my video poker classes, and then after class they go play slots. But they feel like they got enough education by taking the class, so now they can do what they damn well please. Cell phones. It used to be if you had a cell phone to your ear anywhere within 10 miles of a sports book, they would tell you to turn it off, and now it doesn't seem to be such a big deal. What's happening here?
I think what happened is that people realized, hey, it just isn't that hard to have people get a text anyways. If someone's, like, getting a weather report or information or their handicapper buzzes them something for them to play, and it's just a recognition of, hey, 99% of the population is talking to their wives or children. Of the other 1% that are trying to win, maybe 80% of them are going to lose anyways. So it really is silly to have that cell phone rule. Just have a rule that when you're actually at the window betting, not to be on the phone. Yes.
Okay.
So now I heard there were some more parlay card problems for you.
Arizona Charlie's was one, wasn't it?
That wasn't really a problem. That was just sign of the times as far as during the good times. I think it was 2004. They had a promo. Right now they're running a promo, save your losing parlay tickets. And they're giving away $500 a month, end of the month. Nice promo for the locals. Well, they had a promo. They give away $5,000 a week at both Arizona Charlie's East and Arizona Charlie's West. And there was five sharps, myself included. We played a lot of parlays over at Arizona Charlie's. Lots and lots of parlays. And I remember one week I saw someone who was looking at the bin and was looking at all the rules I actually whispered to him. I said, just to let you know, if you and your friends want to get in, that's great, but I'm going to probably play triple what I'm playing right now. That's cursed. So, well, this is my promo. Hands off. But we all just basically played a whole bunch of parlays for $10, got a whole bunch of drawing tickets, and we won 90% of the pool. So the Sharps were getting 4,500 of the 5,000 each week at Arizona Charlie's East. Curiously, none of us were able to win hardly any of the drawings at Arizona Charlie's West, which is with either a statistical miracle or something funky was going on. But let me not dwell on that. But that was one great promo. And then to this day, Frank B. is really upset with me because I screwed it up, because one week my parlays did too well. And so I killed the golden goose. The sports books just threw up their hands and said, you know, we don't want you guys in action. And we all got the polite tap not to play any more parlays.
So you had the nerve to win a 6 out of 6 or a 7 out of 7 or something? Or
I actually hit 4 10-teamers. So that was, yeah, I hit four $25 10-teamers, and that was the end of parlay carting at Arizona Charlie's. Bless their hearts, very nice people.
Yeah, I guess. That was a big number.
The 10-teamer paid $7.50 for one. You had to play the 10-teamer. They gave you no choice. The way the payout structures were, normally the payout structures double, and then you take inherently more risk, and it's so hard to hit a 10-teamer, so if you want to play a much smaller number of teams. But in this case, I think the 8-teamers, from memory, it's a ties win card. I think the 8-teamer paid $150, the 9-teamer paid $300, and the 10-teamer paid $750. So I'm like, what can I do? You know, I got to play the 10-teamer. I have no choice. Yes.
Now, what happened at the Stardust under Joe Lupo?
You know, Lupo for years ran this. A very good sportsbook manager. Now he's like the number two guy at Borgata in Atlantic City. But he was number two guy at the casino, not the sportsbook. Obviously, they don't have one there. He had a Stardust Invitational year after year, invited 16 of the best people in the industry. I never got an invite. And so I don't understand, because the guys that got invited just weren't all that qualified. So I felt like every year that I didn't get invited, I became more motivated to beat the Stardust. So if they had a misplaced prop, if they had a bad start, believe me, I was not going to miss my chance to play against Stardust and their surrounding properties. And so, one time I had
Okay, we're
a
having
curious back. Pardon?
We're having trouble with your cell phone. Are you walking around or moving?
Oh, sounds like we lost him.
All right, so we're going to try to call him back. In the meantime, let me do one commercial, and then maybe we can get him back on. We have some more things we want to talk about. The South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. That's more than any other casino in the world. On October 2nd, VideoPoker.com, who's also a sponsor, and the South Point are joining together to offer a video poker tournament. It's a $50 entry fee tournament. All of the money's returned to the players, plus both the South Point and VideoPoker.com are throwing something into the mix. So this is a positive equity tournament. I'm going to be teaching a free class on how to do well in a video poker tournament. So whether you're competing or not, you're welcome to do it. You're welcome to come on by to that class. You need to be a member of VideoPoker.com to play in it, but that's free, and you can either sign up that day. If you go to videopoker.com/event, there is an invitation, and an interesting thing is at the bottom of the invitation is if you want to go to G2E, which is the industry's gaming show where all the new games are there. I definitely go every year. You can get a free pass. You have to go soon, because you have to apply for the free pass by September 10th, which is only a couple days away. This coming Wednesday, the free video poker class at South Point is going to be 9-6 Bonus Poker Deluxe. This game has the same pay schedule as 9-6 Jacks or Better, except that the four of a kinds pay more in Bonus Poker Deluxe, and two pair returns even money. The strategy is similar, but both the higher return for the quads and the lower return for two pair makes predictable changes in the strategy. If you're a video poker player and you're not really clear how the strategy changes when those things change, this would be a good class to come and figure out what those changes are, even if this is not a particularly or not one of the games that you play on a regular basis. So it sounds like we have Fezzik back on the line. Is that right?
Yes, you do. Coin Jam call attendant. Yes.
Ah. Okay. Now, was this Joe Lupo getting back at you?
you can never underestimate how far the man's reach goes. Yes.
So you were midway. Were you through with your Joe Lupo story, or was there a punchline coming up?
No, I'm through with Joe, and my point is, Bob Scucci took over the Stardust, and Bob, I think, was just a little bit sharper in terms of the business decisions. He did invite me into the Stardust Invitational, and I stopped running all around town, taking shots wherever I could at Boyd properties. Yes.
Now, okay, we got time for just one more segment. When LVA Sports, it's Anthony Curtis's Las Vegas advisor. We told Anthony you were going to be on the show. I said, can we do some kind of a discount? He said, yeah, we'll give you 20%. And this is, if players call up the LVA, which is 702-252-0655. If you didn't write that down, it's Las Vegas advisor in the phone book. There's an 800 number, 800-244-2244. And you have to call by next Tuesday. Although you might as well call before Sunday to get this week's bets. And you have to mention Gambling with an Edge or Munchkin or Bob Dancer. Now, if they do this...
The 20% is for the people signing up, not for us. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we should get 40%, isn't that? No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. Now, so Steve, what do you get? Tell us about this. What do you get if you sign up with LVA Sports? What's the 20%? Blah, blah, blah.
Well, first of all, don't sign up if you're not a serious sports bettor. They're at sports.com for free, obviously. Since it's a pay message board, you get a community of sharps that gamble and win on sports. And we'll talk about other topics every now and then, but we're really focused on sports betting and how to beat all aspects of sports betting. If you're calling just for picks, I wouldn't sign up either. Although I provide my picks, it's not a pick site. And, you know, you're talking about, oh, let me get in and get Fezzik's picks. You're going to be bitterly disappointed because I'm going to tell you what great bets certain games were that are long gone. For instance, I gave out Denver, pick 'em against Oakland. And if someone said, well, I took your advice and they went and bet Denver -3 against Oakland, I would say, why would you do that? It's total garbage. And they said, well, I thought you said you liked Denver. And I said, I did when it was pick 'em. So, you know, a sensitivity to what the numbers are and to beating the closing numbers. And the number one predictive thing for a sports bettor, yes, does a sports bettor win? I would say if he beats the closing numbers, he almost certainly does. If he can't beat the closing numbers, he's not going to win.
So if it's not a pick site, what, I mean, because the people who sign up, normally this is $999 for our listeners if they wanted $799. If they're not getting picks, what are they paying $799 for?
I'll show them how a sharp plays, and they should be able to learn to become a winning sports bettor by observing the type of plays that I'm making and my recommendations. And certainly they should be able to make some money tailing a lot of the bets that I'm making along the way. You know, I think an example is worth more than a description. You look at this Atlanta-Chicago game. All summer long, the line was pick 'em. Everyone knows the Falcons. Everyone does know the Falcons are better than the Bears. And if you didn't know it, when you looked at the opening season wins, the Falcons were at 10.5 and the Bears were at 8.5. Money came against both those teams. But clearly, Atlanta pick'em was a good bet. I gave out Atlanta pick'em during the summertime, and it just peaked at 3. And similar to a stock rising and falling, except for you can't have stocks go to 500 in sports betting. It's kind of a ludicrous number. The Bears +3 had great value. Bears back +3, and
we lost him again.
Oh, we lost him again. All right, so we may or may not get him back. We hopefully we do. Sounds like we talk about another commercial. We seem to be in a rut here. We talked about the Palms and their drawing. They also have PEW, Play, Earn, and Win. And this week, or this the early part of the month, it includes a 15.5-inch TV. You can get a blender set. There's a heart monitor. And those are, so if you're going to be playing for the drawing, you might as well get those as well. The M, the which promotion is going on at the M depends on which day it is. And before I continue with that, we apparently have Fezzik back. This is your last chance, Steve. If you don't get it this time, we're just not even going to call you back. That's just it.
Cut me off right here. Well, I am going to give you a live report from the M Casino where the first NFL game just kicked off. And it looks like they're doing pretty good business for the very first game. We will see how Cantor does. Great experiment with, you know, Cantor Gaming is part of the overall Cantor family. Huge brokerage house, and they're pouring millions and millions of dollars into new technology and trying to really cultivate huge sports betting opportunities and taking really large bets, and we will see how they do. It's a fascinating thing, and whether a lot of this is going to really depend upon, I think, whether one day we get legalized sports wagering here in Nevada where everyone can bet from home. That will certainly help them.
Very good. So this is mostly about football because it's football season. Can we ask you back later to talk about other sports?
Oh, absolutely. I think I'm qualified. I could talk about Hold'em Poker also. No Limit Hold'em Poker, but been playing that during the summer. And Bob, I hate to tell you this. I hate video poker. I am the world's most unlucky or worst video poker player. I just don't hit royals. So that's God bless everyone. I know you got the edge, you know, facing the progressives and the pay schedules. But, boy, that is one tough nut to crack.
Yeah, well, we could use you on Hold'em. We've only had Andy Block, Annie Duke, Blair Rodman, and a couple others. So we could use an expert.
I think stick with those guys. Yeah, never mind. I'll just be your sports guy.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So
okay.
What did we learn from Fezzik?
Ah, good question.
What we learned is cell phones are undependable.
Yeah.
Getting story about some of the stories of successes or, you know, this parlay card or that. Every gambler has those stories of those successes. Those are fun to talk about. He talks about winning over and over and over again is more important than just winning the big one at the Hilton. I agree with that. It's like
sure.
Sure.
I actually was. I was also surprised about them not. Why they're not throwing him out? Because I would have thought, you know, I didn't understand why he was able to ever get a bet down.
I was going to follow up on that, but that was one of the times he was off the air, and part of it has to do with if he makes a bet and they know he's really great, they can always move the line, so he can be a relatively inexpensive information source for them. So,
sure.
So actually, he can provide a service to them. So I don't think that's that hard to understand. Let's talk about the M. On Mondays in August and in September, they have a mystery multiplier. It's 1x, 2x, or 3x for video poker, and up to 10x for slots. You're going to be in the casino to do your free play there anyway. In August, they were good from noon on. In September, it's for 24 hours, but it's on the casino day, which would be 4 a.m. Monday to 3:59 a.m. Tuesday. So that's where the casino day is, that casino. Wednesdays, they have a senior slot tournament. They also have a lotto pick on Wednesdays. And they tried it for the first time last night, and they had lots of problems. So I talked to their vice president of marketing day. He said it's going to be different next week. So it's still going to be $5,000 first prize and several lesser prizes. But the details of it will be different, so we'll talk about that next week. they have a hot seat drawings on Friday, 4, 6, 8, and 10. Those are almost the Dr. Pepper numbers, huh? Anyway, each time 10 winners receive a total of $3,600 in free play, and another 10 winners get either $125 at Anthony's or $100 at Marnelli's. So to play, you have to play at least $250 sometime during the day and have your card inserted when the drawing takes place. Good. That's it for our commercials. Who do we have next week?
Oh, next week we have Michael Koenig is our guest next week. Michael is a Renaissance man. He's an actor.
He's really old then, huh?
Yeah, born during the Renaissance. Michael is an author. He's written for over 100 magazines. He was the gambling writer for Cigar Aficionado for over 5 years. And he's written 7 books, several of them about gambling. But the one we're going to focus on next week is a book called The Man with the $100,000 Breasts. And
that's a title you can't beat.
Yeah, it's a title you can't beat. If you like gambling stories, I mean, this is a really great book. Anybody who likes stories about gambling will love this book. The title character is about a man who put in breast implants on a $100,000 bet. And so, yeah, Michael will be here. And that man, you know, I think that bet was over 10 years ago. He still has the breast implants in, even though he only had to keep them in for a year. So,
Now, he writes in his books about many of the same people that you write about in your books, like Max Rubin or Huck Seed or Mike Sabatini. I'm not sure, maybe some others. Now, is this coincidence? Are you and he roommates in swapping notes, or how did this happen?
No, I mean, we're friends. I know Michael. We were on the World Series of Blackjack together. There are a certain number of great gambling stories out there, and, you know, so people who write about gambling will go after them. I also...
Max Rubin is just irresistible.
He is. He's one of them. Huck Seed is irresistible, and I'm really trying to get him on the show. So
that would be great.
Yeah. He is a guy that will bet on all kinds of really bizarre things. So those people are always fun to talk to.
The Steve Sear, he's going to be the following week. Who is Steve Sear?
So Steve Sear he bills himself as the super host. So he is a host for high-stakes players. He wrote a book called Whale Hunt in the Desert. And he's not tied to any one particular casino. He will, you know, if he's got a whale, he will shop him around to, you know, whoever's going to give him the best deal. So he should be quite interesting to talk to, especially in light of the whole Don Johnson thing back in Atlantic City. It'll be interesting to hear what Steve has to say about the kind of deals he makes for his high-rolling players.
Don Johnson was the player who would get the casinos to rebate 20% on losses and ended up multi-million dollar winner from several different casinos.
$15 million he won playing blackjack, yeah.
Well, it's not like $15 million was like it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, if I wanted, I'd take it to Binion's and try to turn it into some real money.
Yeah, right. Binion's
won't take a big bet anymore. Back in the day, you know, they would, whatever your first bet was your limit. So those days are over.
Yeah, I'm sure. And then in a few more weeks, Bob Nersessian is going to be on. Bob Nersessian is a lawyer, and we...
Right, he was on a few weeks ago, and the response was so good, and there's so much more to talk to him about that we will have him on again. I expect he'll be a regular around here.
Good. That was that's useful. That's good to know. I would like to have him useful, and I definitely now have his phone number on my cell phone. I never know when I'm going to get into trouble in a casino. Hopefully I don't, but it's nice to have a good lawyer on your side when you do. We periodically talk about money issues to fill in some time. And we've talked about lines of credit. Somebody was telling both you and I, Munchkin, over dinner last week that Harrah's New Orleans was having a promotion this weekend to celebrate Hurricane Lee, I guess. But it was an invitational blackjack tournament where if you had a line of credit at the casino, first prize was $50,000.
So $500,000. If you had a line of credit, it was $500,000. If you did not have a line of credit, it was only $50,000.
Uh-huh. Which was amazing to me at the difference. I have never heard of that big of a difference before on lines of credit. Have you?
No, that was a complete shock to me as well. But, you know, I think Harrah's in particular seems to be flailing. You know, they're, I think, having some troubles, and part of it's the economy. Who knows what all their reasons are, but they seem to be, well, let's try this, let's try that, you know, let's raise the comps, let's lower the comps. So, no, but that was definitely a first for me to hear anything that big a discrepancy. And I don't see how that could work. I mean, if I'm at the final table of a tournament, and if I win, it's 50, and if the other guy wins, it's 500, I think I might make a deal.
You think you know? Might make a deal? You might take a dump? Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure I would have very low chances of winning.
I would think that would be a smart play if you did. All right. So we got 2 minutes left. One of the other things about carrying money in general, that we're just going to breach the subject now, has to do with self-defense, where taking a gun into casinos is highly illegal, or tasers or mace or various other things are of questionable legality. And my thought of that is that if you have them, you better be prepared to use them.
Yeah, and boy, for someone who travels, I mean, you can't travel with it, and the laws are different in different states. I mean, in my own case, I just avoid those things altogether. I would rather, you know, tip a security. If I have any worries, I would rather tip a security guard to walk me to my car or whatever. But, you know, another issue that we should talk about one of these days is CTRs, cash transaction reports.
All right, we have 1 minute left, so this is probably not the time to go into great lift on it.
Right, but yeah, they are something that people need to be aware of, and it's, again, a difference between table game players and machine players, because often the table game players don't want to give their personal information to the casino. So.
Yeah, I'm on CTR list. 3 times a week, at sometimes multiple casinos 3 times a week. So that's nothing. It's just occupation of being a high limit player.
Right.
All right. So it was a good show tonight, Munchkin. Thank you very much for calling in. And Fezzik was good. So everybody, go out and hit lots of royal flushes.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard W. Munchkin. Archived versions of past shows may be found on bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard W. Munchkin are both on Facebook and welcome your input or questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.
Hi, this is Steve Crowley, our national radio program, Steve Crowley's American Scene. We're 21 years young on the air, and the real news, the good news, is that American Scene is airing now right here on KLAV AM 1230, Monday through Friday mornings at 10 a.m. Our programs help you survive and prosper through up and down economies. So join us for Steve Crowley's American Scene weekdays at 10 right here on KLAV, the talk of Las Vegas.
Hello, this is your favorite chef, JB. Join me every Friday at 1 p.m. for the Catering Man Can radio show. I'll be talking everything catering, party planning, menus, tips, rentals, and special guests with your favorite recipes right here on KLAV Radio. Every Friday at 1 p.m., the Catering Man Can.
Hi, this is Tiffany Rose Thomas. Join me and custom tattoo artist and local celebrity Jerry Thomas, owners of Lucky Cat Tattoo in Las Vegas. Every Friday night at 8 p.m., we will be bringing to you a fun show inspired by the excitement of the body art industry, custom tattoos, special guests, and more. Join Lucky Cat Tattoo's Ink Session, hosted by myself, Tiffany Rose Thomas, and custom tattoo artist Jerry Thomas, every Friday night at 8 p.m. on KLAV.
I'm Don Randles. I'm an attorney in Las Vegas. My show, The Dawn of Law, on KLAV Monday at 1 p.m. I'll talk about controversial subjects such as immigration, bankruptcy, criminal law, and personal injury. Join me, Dawn of Law, every Monday at 1 p.m. on KLAV.
Have you ever wanted to learn how to fly? Hi, this is Jeff Montes with Cactus Aviation. Listen every Tuesday at 2 p.m. for a new radio show called Learning to Fly. We'll be discussing different aviation topics, like how to become a pilot and flight safety in general. So whether you're curious about learning to become a pilot or interested in airplanes, or just curious about the aviation industry, join me and my special guests every Tuesday at 2 p.m. for Learning to Fly on KLAV. You're cleared for takeoff.
My name's Chris, and I'm a bug guy.
My name is Mike, and I too am a bug guy.
Join us every Tuesday at 3 p.m. for our show, What's Bugging Ya?
Now we know spiders, scorpions, and cockroaches may not be your favorite thing to talk about, but we know what's crawling around your house, and you need to know how to protect you and your family from these home invaders.
You won't believe some of the things we have found in Vegas homes and businesses. And we're going to share these stories with you live on the radio.
And we'll give you the information that some of the other pest control companies don't want you to know.
Preventive pest control is the best in the business, and we know bugs. So be sure to listen in every Tuesday at 3 p.m. for What's Bugging You.
Oh, and be sure to check under the bed.
Preventive Pest Control's What's Bugging You? Tuesday afternoon at 3.
Hi, I'm Kim.
And I'm Jill.
And we're the Sin City Spirit Seekers. We have a show here on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m.
Be there or beware.
Join us as we discuss all things paranormal.
Call in live to 731-1230 as we delve into the strange realm of the unknown.
Hi, this is Vandana Chima of Exit Realty Chima Group. Join Brandon Roberts and I every Thursday at 11 a.m. on KLAV for our show, Real Estate Exposed, the Exit Realty Radio Show, where we discuss all things real estate, including foreclosures, short sales, loan modification, credit restoration, how to buy at the auction, and much, much more. Listen every Thursday at 11 a.m. to the Real Estate Exposed Show on KLAV 1230 a.m.
Hi, I'm Renee, and this is my daughter,
Jessica, and we're estate liquidators and have a 12,000 square foot antique and collectible consignment store. And we're going to be on every other Thursday at 1 p.m. to talk about ways you can discover if the items you have been holding on to
are trash or treasure. In the meantime, you can visit our store at 1422 Western Avenue.
Not just Antique Smart, filled with some of the treasures we're talking about. So if you have any items or questions, you can call in during our show every other Thursday
at
1 p.m.
Love us on radio, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. We are KLAV 1230 AM.
You're listening to KLAV Las Vegas.